Community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on one frequency, 106.3 throughout the tri-state area. You can also listen at kntrtalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk 106.3. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Norm was out on the casting call, who did Cheers turn to?
The police!
When Mike Tyson became the youngest heavyweight champion in history and no sparring partners could be found, who did the champ turn to?
The police!
Now, this world-renowned barfly slash pugilist has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul LaVoy!
All right, thank you very much, Kid Rock, from the Sturgis Rally in South Dakota. Welcome to Speak Out, Friday, September 24th, 2021. Very special show today, so I thought I'd change it up a little bit with Kid Rock at the top. We've got Matt Salmon, who's patiently waiting on the line. He is the conservative candidate for Arizona governor. And MCC Communications Director James Jarman will be on later in the show, along with President Dr. Stacy Klippenstein. First, I want to go to Matt Salmon because he's waiting so patiently on the line. Matt, welcome back to Speak Out. Good to have you on.
Hey, Paul. I also have to say that I have actually been to Sturgis myself. I'm a Harley rider, have been most of my life, and it was one of the most fun things I ever did. So you're a lucky guy.
Wow, you just turned a lot of heads in Mojave County if you're a Harley rider, Matt Salmon.
Oh, yeah. I've been a Harley rider most of my life.
What do you actually ride? An Ultra Glide? What? Or what? Ultra
actually
Classic?
I started out with a Fat Boy, and then now I have a Dyna White Glide.
Oh, nice.
But I did. I had a Springer at one point, and I had a Road King Classic, and I've had lots of Harleys, and you can never have enough Harleys or enough guns. That's my philosophy.
I'm trying to picture Matt Salmon riding down the road with ape hangers and then pulled back a little bit for comfort. Is that the case?
Easy rider, that's me.
Way to go. How does the wife take to the bike?
You know what? I have a hard time getting her to get on with me. She doesn't like it too much, but that's okay. I love the wind in my face. I really clear my head when I get on my bike.
Helmet or no helmet?
Well, it depends on the day, and it depends on if my wife sees me walking out the door.
But isn't it nice to have the freedom in Arizona to wear a helmet if you're the rider?
Yeah, no, it really is. And I, you know, if I ever have an opportunity to have a helmet law before me, I will veto it. I just think freedom is the name of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt, thanks for being on the show with us again today. And I want to talk, since it's breaking news, at 1 o'clock it looks like they're going to reveal the results of the Maricopa County audit. The Cyber Ninjas team, Doug Logan, I guess they're set to do a presentation. And you had released something earlier this week commenting about the audit. But now it looks like we've got some leaks. Go figure, right? Leaks in the system. And KTAR News got their hands on a preliminary report. And it looks like there's, well, from what they're saying, there's no discrepancies. What are you seeing, Matt?
You know, first of all, call me just a little jaded about leaks from the media. You know, I'm just not sure that I'm buying off on that. But, you know, I have seen enough discrepancies that have been raised. And I actually went down and met with the folks while they were doing the audit and talked about the process for validating signatures on the mail-in ballots. By the way, 92% of the election last election was done by mail-in ballots. And we got to get that process right. And there's no voter ID requirement for mail-in ballots. And that's one of the first things as governor I want to do is make sure that we have voter ID for every kind of ballot cast in Arizona. And I think it's reasonable. I mean, you have to have a license to get a beer to go. You have to have ID to go through the airport to check out a library book. So I just really believe that we need voter integrity, and I've called for a statewide audit. I think that there's enough Arizonans that have a real lack of confidence in the integrity of the elections. We've got to show them either there is integrity or there's not, and if there's problems, then we need to fix them through legislation, and that's why it's so important.
Do you think it's going, do you think the Republicans in charge right now in the state party, say Kelly Ward, Sonny Borelli, Leo Biasucci, those people from Mojave County anyway, do you think it'd be wise for them to take a stand that this proves that there's voter integrity? What's your take on that?
I think there's still some glaring problems because, I mean, I've been using this example, you know, how many people out there think that O.J. Simpson didn't kill Nicole.
Yeah, right.
You know, and yet he wasn't convicted. They weren't able to prove their case to a jury in the court. My point is, just because it can't be proven doesn't mean that there aren't some issues. And I got to tell you, as I've been crisscrossing the state and talking to voters all over the state, there's a lot of concerns about the integrity of our elections. And as long as you don't have voter ID requirements for your mail-in ballots, I think that's a big glaring hole. And I put together a 10-point plan that I call the Voter Bill of Rights that I think needs to be enacted. And I've also said that, you know, when I'm governor, I'm not going to sign any other legislation until we get that through. And it should be a bipartisan issue because voter integrity should be something we all care about. And that, you know, that's what this is about, is to make sure that our votes are tamper-proof, fraud-proof, and that we have an opportunity to have honest and fair elections. I don't think that's unreasonable.
Okay. Matt, we do have a caller on the line, on the Speak Out talk line. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
I've not heard anyone in Mojave County that's an official anyways state that in Mojave County we had a problem with our election. And, you know, we've been doing mail-in in Mojave County for many, many, many years. I love mail-in myself. I sit there at my kitchen table, fill it out, and mail it in.
Right.
Okay,
so
what's the question?
When you talk about discrepancies, are you seeing it county by county?
No, we don't know. I don't know about the other counties. The ballot inspection that was done, it was just Maricopa County. Mm-hmm. And I know that there were sworn testimony from poll watchers that said that when they first started, you know, the ballot process on election day this last time and verifying the signature, because by state law, the signature on the ballot has to match the signature on the voter files or it's not a valid vote. And the validation process went from like a 20-point process down to zero through the course of the day as it got more hectic. And I am really concerned about that, and I do believe that if you vote in this state, you should have to prove that you're a citizen of the United States and a citizen of Arizona. I don't think that's unreasonable. And voter ID is the only way to get that done. And right now, for mail-in ballots, there's no requirement for voter ID.
So the state GOP sent out an email shortly before the show that there's going to be a watch party to watch the Maricopa County election audit report. And I don't know, Matt, it just didn't sit well with me. Is this a wise use of you know, voter contributions to the party?
You know, if I know the state party, they'll probably use everything they do as a way to raise additional revenues. I was the state party chairman at one time, and you're always looking at ways to, you know, raise dollars so you can get Republicans elected to office. And so I don't know what the motives are, but my guess is that they're probably going to try to figure out some way to raise money off of the event today. And you know, that's a practice that most, you know, party chairmen, both on the Republican and the Democrat side, do on these big issues.
I guess from what I saw from the preliminary report, I was very surprised. I thought there were a lot more discrepancies than are being reported in this preliminary report anyway. What about yourself, Matt? Was Matt Salmon surprised as well?
You know, I haven't, all I've seen is what was leaked. And as I said before, Paul, I'm really dubious when it comes to leaks from the media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to wait and see exactly, you know, what comes out today, before, you know, before I start commenting on whether I'm surprised or not. Cause what I've seen is leaks by the media, and a lot of the times the media out there, present company excluded, but the media out there isn't always on the right page.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. It's almost like the media is trying to get out in front of the story, which is very strange.
Yeah, they're trying to get out in front of the story, and I don't know who leaked what, but by the end of the day, I've been around the media so long that, you know, I just don't trust them. And anybody that, you know, that stakes their reputation on something that is leaked by the media, I think is going to be on thin ice.
Right. It's all over Arizona News Radio already, right here on KNTR. Hey, we have another phone call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
In Mojave County, I've filled out three mail-in ballots, but I didn't mail them in. I hand-carried them up to the county building and turned them in.
Okay.
But my main concern is ballot security. Once it's there, how secure are those ballots? I don't think that anything, any system that allows unsecure ballots to be allowed at all. I think they should be voted on voting day, counted on voting day, and that's it. There's too many issues with security of the ballots. I'll listen off the air if you have any comments. Thank you very much.
All right. First question was, did you say you filled out three ballots?
I voted in three elections with mail-in ballots.
Okay, all right. Got it.
I took it the same way, Matt.
Okay, so I was a little surprised. Like, why were you filling out three ballots?
Right.
Okay, I understand now. Yeah, I agree with you on the voter security thing. And I put out a 10-point plan and, you know, for voter integrity, and that's what I was just talking about. And voter security, ballot security is a big part of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think, honestly, and hear me out, I think, honestly, for this next election, the best course of action would be to go back to a hand count and get away from the machines, get back to the precinct voting, because during COVID, they got away from the precinct voting and they were unmanageable. So there's a lot of things I think that need to be done, but that was I agree with you on that.
Okay. Let's see. We had a commentary come out this morning. It was actually published by Andy Biggs, endorsing you for governor. And then I told you about that off the air and asked if there was a bromance going on. So what's the verdict?
And I said it was a platonic bromance. Andy and I have been, we have been like brothers since high school. And I just think the world of him. When I decided not to run again for Congress, he was the guy I called, and I asked him to run for my seat, and I was the chairman of his campaign. I think he's doing a fantastic job, holding people accountable. He's one of the smartest people there, and he's a fighter. I got a backbone of steel, and I'm so proud to have his endorsement. He's a great friend.
All right, Matt Salmon, we're going to take a short break. I'm Paul Lavoie. Speak Out will continue. Stay with us. We have MCC President Dr. Stacy Klippenstein at the bottom of the hour, along with Communications Director James Jarman. We'll be back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. The number to call if you want to chime in, 854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. Stay with us.
Damn, I got it all figured out. I got no worries that I'm worried about. It's like I caught some crazy happy disease. Damn, it feels good to be me.
I had a little classic rock going out there for Matt Salmon. He is a conservative candidate for Arizona governor. And Matt just shared with me something. I got to use this on the air now, Matt. You're a former lead singer.
That's
and
right.
You specialize in Elvis tunes?
Well, we always used to kind of start off with a couple of Elvis tunes, and I do an Elvis impersonation.
Really, baby, lay it on me.
I don't get the hips going too well, but I do my voice. A lot of people swear that when I'm doing it, it sounds just like Elvis. But we did a lot of different. We did America and Eagles and Chicago, and it was really fun. I love rock music,
dude. That's awesome. What was the name of the band?
You're gonna laugh. It was called Jammin' Salmon.
Yeah, I love it. Was it? This sounds like Hanson almost. Was it like members of the Salmon family?
No, I was the only member of the Salmon family. Although my brother plays the guitar and he's really good, and we used to do a lot of folk singing together too.
Jammin' Salmon. We should find some recordings from your band and play them at your rallies, right?
There you go, man.
All right. Speak Out brought to you in part by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Mojave Mortgage, Springberg Wealth Management, also Patio Paradise, Horizon Community Bank, and Thane O'Brien was spot on. Call Thane 928-706-2784 or send an email to tobryan@spoton.com. tobryan with an E at spoton.com. They can help you with credit card transactions for any size business. Let's talk about, you're out there with the voters. Even today, you were at a rally for medical?
The rally was about medical freedom.
So what are the voter concerns out there, Matt?
Oh, gosh. I think election integrity is one of the biggest. Border security is a really, really big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Dealing with what's going on in our schools and the critical race theory. The schools were closed all last year because of COVID. And by the way, if I were governor, that would have never happened. And the businesses would have never closed down either. I mean, it was a big mistake. And then backing the blue, backing our law enforcement
right.
people, that's a really big deal, especially among the GOP. They're sick and tired of this assault, on the defunding the police that really even is happening in Phoenix. I mean, the Department of Justice investigation on the city of Phoenix Police Department, it's nothing more than a backdoor way to try to cut away their credibility and try to defund the police. And so those are the big issues, I think, that are on people's minds. Obviously, the economy is always a big deal with everybody, but a lot of folks are really concerned about the Californians moving in and changing Arizona into California. And when I meet a ton of people as I'm going across the state that have moved here from California, and I always look them squarely in the eye and I say, remember why you left, and don't California, Arizona.
Right, right. Definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over again with the same
exactly.
results. So, hey, let's talk about Arizona's minimum wage. There's a report because of the consumer price index going up 5.3% in August, I believe it was, from August to August. Now, the state minimum wage is going to jump another 65 cents. It looks like it's $12.85 an hour starting in January, if I remember right. Is this minimum wage law, is it set to go down at any time, or is it just going to keep going up and up with the consumer price index?
It never goes down, and I've always been very much against minimum wage. I'm a free market guy,
right?
And it's the small business people that really get hurt, and it also ends up costing people jobs, because if you think about it, small businesses that pay the minimum wage, if they are forced to pay a higher rate, that comes out of their bottom line, because most small business owners, they use that's their salary. That's what they take care of their family with. That's what
right.
they put braces on the kids' teeth, or they'll put them in college. And so when you raise the minimum wage, they end up working more hours themselves and laying people off, because they've still got to meet their bottom line too. They got to pay their mortgage. So I'm very much against minimum wage laws, and I just believe the free market needs to control those discussions, not government. Government needs to get the hell out of the way and let business do what business does and leave families alone. And this medical freedom, conference protest that we had, government should never insert itself between a doctor and a patient. It should never be there to tell patients what they need to do with themselves. So that's really important to me too.
Yeah,
we're talking about the vaccine, of course, but whether it was with Obamacare, and remember they had the death panels that they put together,
mm-hmm.
deciding who we're going to give care to and who we're not. The decision in healthcare needs to be between a person and their doctor.
Right, absolutely. You know, the other thing about minimum wage, too, is it's taking away those entry-level jobs for teenagers. So teenagers are faced with, why would a small business want to pay a teenager almost $30,000 a year for an entry-level position?
That's exactly it, Paul. That, you know, the liberals never think this stuff through. But, you know, when they're so friendly and warm with other people's money,
yeah,
it always has a bad ending. And when you force, whether you increase taxes on people or whether you force them to pay a higher wage, whatever the case may be, the bottom line is that people get hurt. And the people you say you're trying to help, they're the ones that get hurt. And if you just get out of the way and let the free market actually work and let the forces of nature and business work, and not have government jump in and dictate winners and losers, then everything works out well, and we have a great economy and everybody's happy.
I guess they figure maybe those entry-level jobs are now Uber and Lyft, right? They can just go out there and be self-employed and make their way that way. Who knows?
But the latest problem I'm hearing, Paul, is that, you know, with what happened last year where they put a moratorium on evictions and then they increased the payment for unemployment payments, that now small businesses can't get employees. And I'm hearing that all over the place. So government, again, had the unintended effect of basically forcing small businesses to go under because they can't get employees. I had a woman that called me in tears that owns a small business just a week ago. And she said, we can't get employees because the government's actually paying them too much to stay home.
Yeah, but will the government ever apologize for unintended consequences? I don't think so.
Well, and the problem is that, you know, our founding fathers got it right. They believed that government should be minimum and that the main role of government was actually to protect people's freedoms. That's what the Constitution's all about. And if we can get back to that kind of a concept, then we're going to be on good ground.
Sure, absolutely. Matt Salmon, thanks for joining us again on this Friday. And we're kind of waiting patiently, I guess about an hour after the show, they're going to release the results from the Maricopa County audit. I know you'll have your eyes glued to that.
Get my popcorn out, right?
That's it, exactly. We got to have you in the Speak Out studio one of these days when you're rolling through Mojave County.
I love it, Paul. I look forward to it.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Always good to have you on.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. Next on the show, Dr. Stacy Klippenstein. I call him Dr. K. So if you hear that during the show, you know who I'm referring to. And MCC Communications Director James Jarman. Stay with us. Speak Out. We'll return. I'm Paul LaVoy. Welcome back to Speak Out, brought to you in part by Connected Computer and Technology, Mojave Community College, GDK CPA LLC, Better Business Bureau, SamsGuns.com, Herbs Herbs. Just had to break in there with some Billy Idol, Sun Power by Esme Electric, and by the Lewis team at Coldwell Banker Realty with Bobby and Julie Lewis, Brian Vesley, and Lori Rule. And my next guest ranks somewhere between Bill O'Reilly and Dennis Miller, if I remember right.
It was something like that. I think I was number two on your list back then.
Yeah, that makes O'Reilly number three, right?
Yep.
But we're all good to go. And thanks for requesting the classic rock, by the way. Appreciate
it. I love
that.
A little Billy Idol.
Says Dr. Stacy Klippenstein, or I call you Dr. K. You didn't even know that yet, did you?
That's totally fine. Hey, call me Dr. K. It's perfect.
There's Dr. J and there's Dr. K.
I just don't dunk like Dr. J.
Who does? Or who did? Nobody back in the day, that's for sure. So the big story this week with MCC, and James Jarman may be joining us shortly, and we can always bring James in on the phone, the guest phone on the fly, not a problem. But the big story right now, it's a story after my own heart, to tell you the truth. I played soccer for many years, and now you're talking about a Bighorn soccer program. A lot of people don't even know Bighorn is the mascot for MCC. But what is? How did this all start?
Yeah, well, yeah, Boomer the Bighorn.
Boomer!
That's, it's Boomer, yes. You know, it really started when I first arrived. I believe it was like the second day in the job. I had a visit with some folks who were very eager to take a look at and assist Mojave Community College in a potential of a soccer program. When you take a look at the data around Mojave County with the amount of youth soccer participants, high school soccer participants, those who play in clubs, and even adult soccer, it's absolutely amazing. It is definitely by far the largest participative kind of youth sport. Anyways, there was a core group down at a Bullhead that, because of the field house and the location of the campus there, really to take a look at, can Mojave Community College actually field a team? What would be the process? What would be the cost? What would be the procedures we would need to put in place? Over the last, 16 months, we have been working with this group. And just last month, we were able to do a full presentation to our Board of Governors. And this upcoming October 8th, down here in Lake Havasu, during our board meeting at 9 o'clock, October 8th in room 508 on our campus, we will be asking the board to give us approval to move forward with the NJCAA to actually begin the approval process from them to offer men's and women's collegiate soccer for Mojave Community College.
So it's National Junior College Athletic Association.
Correct.
Got it. So it's a JUCO.
It's JUCO.
JUCO program, so you would probably have players 1 to 2 years, and then they would transfer out to bigger schools if they were, you know, if they were recruited or that sort of thing, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And that's the beauty of the NJCAA and community college athletics is it gives them a starting point, right? It gives them a degree because most of them complete. And if I'm a freshman, rather than going to a four-year school and maybe sitting on a bench 2 years, I'm going to get immediate play time, immediate skill development, and then they're even more heavily recruited at that four-year institution, and they already walk away with a degree.
But now this opens up a whole, I'm not going to say Pandora's box because I think of that negatively. This is more of a positive. This opens up a whole new spectrum of MCC offices, if you will, an athletic office. So you're going to need an athletic director. You're going to need a communications person for athletics. That could be James. Who knows? But have you thought of that also?
Yeah, that's been part of the process that we presented to the board is to take a look at least initially what would the front startup cost would be, and as well as the first full year. We are taking a look at with the hiring of our coaches and combining them with an AD style of role. What do we do with the sports information director? How can we combine that with our current MPIO or with James Jarman? And we will take a look at what that staffing need would be from that end. And we've already taken a look at what our budget would look like and what we would need to be able to do that. Luckily, we have a booster club that's being formed.
Oh.
It's called Bighorn Boosters. And they are purely there for athletic fundraising. And they're already beginning to be active. And we have sitting there ready to go upon our Board of Governors approval, $300,000 from the Legacy Foundation out of Bullhead for the startup costs over the first 2 years.
Nice.
So, yes, absolutely. The staffing side, coaches, what do we do with some of the AD duties? If we, right now we have a developer up there that is looking at offering some space for us as they build, where we could provide on-campus kind of housing close to the campus. So we would have some staffing things to consider there as well. But overall, everything's working out pretty good.
It's a perfect fit with the legacy scope of funding, too, because they fund recreation programs. Mm-hmm. They went from a medical focus to more of a wellness focus. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Yes, absolutely. And that's one reason they gave us the money is because they see the value of that soccer program offering youth camps and those type of things back to the community, and just the amount of community involvement we'll get from our student athletes. And we do know that a chunk of them will be in the health programs area. And so for the Legacy, it was a perfect fit. And they know our recruitment of our student athletes will come from the tri-state region,
yeah,
mostly out of Mojave, then the tri-state region, which fits their mission.
I was just going to mention that it's a great vehicle for recruiting local students.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. let's see, where are we at timeline-wise? Are we looking at 1 year, 2 years? If this were approved, it's going to be at the October 8th meeting. Is that correct?
Correct. So if our Board of Governors approves us on October 8th, then immediately we'll have the application to the NJCAA in. They will need to, because we're a brand-new athletic program, we're one of only two community colleges in the state that do not have athletics. The NJCAA will need to schedule what they call a site visit. After that site visit is completed, then in February is when the NJCAA will vote, their board will vote to allow us in. We would then be allowed into Region 1, which is all of Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So right after that, then we would work with the Arizona Community College Athletic Conference. I call it ACAC.
That's perfect.
But the Arizona Community College Athletic Conference,
sure.
In order to get onto the fall schedule of fall of 23. So we would have all of next year to hire coaches, begin the recruitment process, and hope to have a team on the field fall of 2023, which would be August 1st, basically, and that's when NJCAA Athletics allows men's and women's soccer to begin their program.
It doesn't sound too ambitious, actually. It sounds pretty realistic.
There's a lot of things that are very realistic. And if James was here, I'm sure he would say, it really does change a brand and a look and a feel for our college, just a pride factor. And he was able to contact all the other community college districts in the state that have athletics, and it was amazing the information they received back from an admissions and enrollment gain perspective, a marketing gain perspective, and again, I think it will bring a different level of pride for Mojave Community College and Bighorns.
I know it's too soon to ask, but the sports person in me, the person who watches sports, loves sports, not only soccer, but other sports, even volleyball or basketball. Are there other sports that you've thought about bringing in? I know it's like one at a time, but what's the wish list?
Not at this time. Our big goal has been focusing in on just getting NJCAA approval, right? Well, first
gotcha.
Board approval, then NJCAA,
sure.
And then soccer, men's and women's soccer, because of the volume of participation in Mojave County, made the perfect sense. We will evaluate once we get into men's and women's soccer and evaluate how well that program is doing. Is the funding sustainable, the recruitment aspect of Mojave County? And then we would take a look at other programs, but also other community members who pop up and say, hey, baseball, softball, volleyball, basketball, or, you know, even some of the smaller, more inexpensive programs, men's and women's golf,
right.
Men's and women's cross country. Coconino Community College just started men's and women's cross country. They were accepted in NJCAA last year, and I think it's this year they're starting that. So, and those are really inexpensive programs.
Because they're individual sports.
Right, you can recruit 15 to 20 students in men's and women's just from that.
But softball's a perfect fit for Bullhead City.
Yeah, softball, baseball,
with all
a lot
the tournaments
about, right.
they have, you know, right. and women's softball is very popular. What are some of the other schools that are involved in that conference in Arizona that you were talking about? The ACAC,
yeah. The again, Arizona Community College Athletic Conference. If anybody wants to get out there and look at their website, I think it's accac.org.
Okay.
All the Maricopa schools. They're all Division II
so
schools.
Mesa Valley?
Yeah, okay. Mesa, Scottsdale, mm-hmm. Gateway. They all have that. They all play in the same conference as the Division I soccer programs, like Cochise, Arizona Western, Eastern Arizona. College is actually starting men's and women's soccer
no
the same year we are. We plan to. Yavapai College. I know I'm missing a few there. But, yeah, of the eight rural community college districts, we would be the sixth entering in men's and women's soccer.
Sounds like you may be the only one in the state or one of the only ones in the state without an athletic program.
We are. Well, us and Northland Pioneer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we are the only two that do not have athletics.
Interesting. Well, let's move on to Advanced Manufacturing Training Center and the Marine Technologies here in Lake Havasu City.
Yeah. I'm sorry. You had Advanced Manufacturing and then the Marine. My bad. Advanced Manufacturing.
So they're not combined?
They're going to be separated out. I see what James did. He sent both of those in the same sentence. The Advanced Manufacturing Training Center, which is something we're actually, for me, is really more excited about in a lot of ways. We did receive some state funding, thanks to Representative Cobb, Representative Biasucci, and Senator Borelli. Some money to help us develop and create an Advanced Manufacturing Training Center in Kingman at the Industrial Park. And we hope to begin the design phase here in the next month or two, and then hope to break ground next year. and have it ready to go for fall of 23. That will be about a 23 to 25,000 square foot building to house a lot of manufacturing type of training, short-term certificates. What we're also looking down here in Lake Havasu, and we've been exploring this from a gap in industry needs, is in the area of marine technologies, and can we combine with many of the repair shops and others, and also because it's such a heavy marine sports area with Lake Havasu, can we connect with some major companies where we can provide a really strong training style of program for marine and also take a look at RZR, so off-road, and also in automotive if we can combine them all together. So our goal is to look at on the Lake Havasu campus to develop that. That would be a very specific Lake Havasu program, of course.
Wow. Have you talked to any of the other players that are coming into the community, like Robbie Gordon, for example, with the Speed UTV dealership, see if there could be partnerships formed with business and the school?
Yeah, and that's one of our goals, is to really develop that connection to, as well as the partnership with, a lot of those companies. And so we're beginning that phase. There have been some discussions with a few folks, some people who have said they would even donate some equipment on an annual year, so we have that sitting there in the shops for the students to learn from. So there's a lot of things that we're looking at from a more of a career and technical education side, heavy equipment operations and diesel mechanics maybe down the road, some advancing our culinary and even offering hospitality maybe at a Bullhead. So there's a lot of options for us.
Yeah, such a great opportunity for not only high school students looking to get into the workforce without having to pay for a giant college education bill, but also the person looking to maybe change their career.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great opportunity right there.
Oh, it is.
For the mechanically inclined.
Yeah. Yes, for the mechanically inclined.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a great one. And then also our we have a new dean of workforce and regional partnership development, and he's been working a lot with Arizona at Works with apprenticeship building. So there's a great way for us to connect this into an apprenticeship model and keep people here, get them trained, and then keep them here.
What about the there's a new welding technology building now open?
Yeah, luckily 2 years ago the state, again thanks to Representative Biasucci and Cobb and Senator Borelli, we were able to receive $1.2 million in one-time only funding for specifically workforce development. And what we did is we put a big chunk of that into a new welding technologies building down in Bullhead. And the reason being is because we had six small bays. We weren't able to keep up capacity of the student demand.
Right.
So we built a new building with 12 new bays, a plasma table. I mean, there's really some state-of-the-art work in there. And we just opened that. And so we have now 12-plus students who are up in the Bullhead area getting this welding training.
They're learning arc welding, what is it, TIG, yes. And there's one other that I can't remember.
You know more than I do.
Well, there's a program also, I believe, at River Valley High School that's a welding program, so they can go right from there to advanced welding.
Right, and then also we are a testing site, so once they get that, they can get their certifications and be tested.
So it looks like you had a big ribbon cutting yesterday up in Kingman in the downtown district.
Yes.
A great place for not only a new center for MCC, but also the Chamber of Commerce.
Right. It was a really, it was a dream, so to speak, when I first got here, because after talking to people in downtown Kingman, they realized that Mojave Community College is not visible really in Kingman. We're so far out. And Mayor Miles and I had a great conversation. I met with Becky Fossen, the director of the chamber there, and we all connected together and started to look at some facilities. Bought an older facility right there on Beale Street, 10,800 square feet. Got it for what we believe was a reasonable price. And then we did $800,000-plus in renovations and just did a ribbon cutting with the chambers in there. Small Business Development Council is in there. We have training. We have conference rooms, classrooms. We're doing community ed and corporate ed out of there. So it's an absolutely wonderful center. We had over 50 people show up for that ribbon cutting.
Wow, no kidding. So here in Havasu, get back to Lake Havasu City for a minute. What about ASU at Lake Havasu? Are there partnerships formed there? I know there's a nursing program that you guys are working hand in hand with.
Yeah, they have introduced this year, I think they had 32, if I remember from the press release, students coming in their post-bac style of nursing program. And so, yes, us working with them and their ability to maybe use some of our space and equipment, our sim labs, to help with that education has been there. We've worked a lot with Carla Harkerode. as well. Yeah, Carla, since she has been here, and a lot, too, with Raymond when he was here. And so our dean at the Lake Havasu campus, Dr. Ione, she has reached out to Carla, and there's been a lot of connections with, you know, transferability. And 2+2, can we continue to look at where a student could go from us and complete through there pretty quickly? So, yes, absolutely, we'll continue to look at building that partnership.
Again, our guest, Mojave Community College President Dr. Stacy Klippenstein. If you have a question, we still have about 4 minutes. You can call in 854-KNTR-928-854-5687. I was going to go to the video, but... I mean, it's the first time in the studio, so we might as well just sit here and talk,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure.
So we first met at the, what was that called? It was a food event.
Yes, it was here in Lake Havasu.
I want to say Havasu Foodie event or something. I don't remember, but anyway.
Top Chef.
Top Chef.
Yeah.
That's it. How have you, you know, since you've taken over for Dr. Kearns, mm-hmm. how has it been so far? Smooth sledding? Seems like you've brought a pretty ambitious approach to the job.
Yeah, a little ambitious. Part of that ambition is really is based off a joint effort on our development of our strategic plan. So we immediately, when I arrived in 2019, we, based on our board giving us approval, moved forward with developing a new strategic plan. And so everything we're trying to do fits within that strategic plan. So a lot of growth, movement. Our whole goal is to get more enrollments, more students in, and then more students out, completed, successful, and ready to go in the workforce. That's been our main goal and will continue to be. Well, the problem was, is 8 months into the role, all of a sudden this pandemic hit. And
yeah.
So the need to quickly shift and kind of shut down, move to everything virtual. We're now getting back, and it's been fun to be able to come back out into the community and participate in events and get to know people, you know, where I felt like I had this 16-month delay.
Right. You kind of read my mind on that one with the pandemic response. But what about the MCC Foundation? How much have they helped with the growth of the college as well?
You know what? They have been absolutely wonderful, and I can't think enough of the local chapters that are in each of our campus communities. So the Lake Havasu chapter with the folks there, and some of the work that they have done, a lot of great financial support for each one. And also just our overall foundation board has been absolutely wonderful. A lot of refocus. They're going through a strategic plan to match with ours, looking at some long-term, maybe larger campaigns, how we can better support the individual campuses in each area. And they have been great. And our main goal right now is to continue to focus in on the 50th anniversary. And this upcoming December 17th down here in Lake Havasu, we are holding a 50th celebration gala. And the foundation has been very involved in that. So we're really, really excited to celebrate 50 years of excellence for Mojave Community College down here with our folks in Lake Havasu.
Let's circle back around to athletics. The foundation and the Booster Club could work hand-in-hand in developing scholarships for athletics.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's the beautiful thing. The Booster Club can really help with our coaches and also the field house and sponsorship. And as well as just regular fundraising, but also they can combine with the foundation and set up certain style of long-term endowed type of scholarships that's specific to athletes coming from Lake Havasu, you know, the high schools down here.
Sure. Yeah. Endowments are good.
Yes.
they keep growing, and they bring in good quality athletic talent and good students as well.
Yep.
All right, Dr. Stacy Klippenstein, thanks for being here. Our time was too short. We need to get you in for an entire hour next month.
Oh, you bet. Next time, just let me know.
It's good to have you in the studio, though, and not just by phone.
Right.
Even if you are right behind Dennis Miller, right?
Thank you very much. I appreciate being number two.
Not a problem. All right, back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie. Speak Out will continue. Stay with us.
You said no strings could secure you. The station.
All right, welcome back to Speak Out. Don't forget, tonight, over on 980 AM here in Lake Havasu, Lake Havasu High School Fighting Knights, back on the field. They'll be in Glendale. They're traveling there right now as we speak to take on the Glendale Cardinals. That's a 7 o'clock kickoff. You can listen on 980 AM or KNTRSports.com. We had Coach Carl Thompson on the show yesterday. And then next week, next Friday, the Golden Shovel game. That's right, Havasu and Mojave. Mojave coming here to Lake Havasu City to fight over that Golden Shovel. All right, also tonight we have Diamondbacks baseball, Diamondbacks and the Dodgers over on the FM side on KNTR Sports. Welcome to the team, 94.3, 100.5, and 980 AM. On Monday, we'll have Mojave County Supervisor and Chairman Buster Johnson on the program, along with Brother Jim Russell and myself. Hannity is up next, preceded by Fox News. Supposed to be a great weekend weather-wise. Maybe some clouds, but temperatures down under 100. All right, we'll see you on Monday. Be safe. I'm Paul Lavoie.
The voice of the free, KNTR Talk 106.3, KJJJ Laughlin, HD2.